2 minutes to continue a little bit the Kiddushei Bia backup kind of mahalach. So I don't know if we'll finish it today, but we'll hopefully get a little bit further, and then we'll finish it on Monday. But just to say a little bit more about it, so it would be good to kind of synergize and to connect it to this aliyah. As I mentioned, there is a reference to Pilagshim and the difference between Kiddushin and Pilagesh and the like. But if we can stretch a little bit, a few weeks from now, in Parshas Vayetze, you really have a reference, because the specific situation that we're talking about people who tried to get married and didn't succeed on some level, so that we have in the Torah, right? We have in Sefer Bereishis, because Yaakov marries Rachel, but turns out it's not Rachel, right? It turns out it's Leah. But we assume that he's married to Leah anyway. So the Sfarim asked, the Rishonim asked, why don't we say that is a Kiddushei Talos, right? So if you marry somebody and it turns out she's in disguise, she's really somebody else, or she's a shapeshifter and she's able to take on a completely different form, and you thought you were marrying a different person, so presumably that's a pretty big das issue, right? So it's hard to say that kind of Kiddushin should be valid. So how was it that Yaakov was married to Leah through that? So there are those who suggest that Kiddushei Bia was actually what constituted the marriage between Yaakov and Leah. And in that case, it's a little bit of a similar situation. If you had a ceremony that didn't actually take, so can the Bia instead kick in? So that's basically the question we've been talking about. And not necessarily scenarios where we wanted to kick in. Sometimes we'd rather say that it didn't kick in because we're worried about Mamzerus and the like, and that's what we were up to. Hi.
I mean, that the Bia doesn't need Das?
So the Bia needs Das for sure. The question is, what Das do we assume? Right, that's how we got into the whole discussion really yesterday about the Gemara's assumption that if there is Bia, so then in Ademosa Bilasa Bilas Nos, so therefore he does have indeed Das for it to be Kedusha. And that's what we're trying to figure out, is that always true? So yesterday we saw the Rivash, and we started talking about how the Rivash is very machudish on three levels. And the Rivash is also a very important makar, because the Rivash was quoted by the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and in all the later literature, and therefore the Rivash really seems to be a major pillar of this whole sugya. It's not a random makar, it's a pretty crucial building block here. So the Rivash basically says three chidushim, as we wanted to highlight yesterday. And his case was that you had a couple that was married in a non-Jewish ceremony. They were basically Muranos. And now the woman wants to marry somebody else. So should we worry that she's married to the first husband through Kiddushei Bia? And the Rivash said no, but he basically makes 3 points, which are really separate from each other, at least points 1 and 2, 3 are separate from each other. So we found it important to highlight that. So just to highlight how they're different. So first, the Rivash says that because they put their intention on a different ceremony, the ceremony that was not Jewish, so that's a statement. That's a statement that they're not interested in Jewish marriage. So therefore, we don't necessarily bring that mindset to the Bia. The Bia does not carry with it a Jewish marriage, because here we have a couple that has essentially said, basically, I'm not interested in marrying you as a Das Moshe Yisrael. That's point A. Point B, a bigger chiddush, he then goes on to say that this klal of, the Moshe Bilaso Bilas Nos, that's not true about everybody, that there are people who may be indeed different than that and are not necessarily subject to this assumption. So that's already a chiddush to say that. But the way he explains that is, the way the Rivash first starts to say it, is because since they are involved in Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah is a big priestess, so therefore they're not people who are presumed to subscribe to this chazak. So that's chiddush 2. right? Like we explained yesterday, that we could distinguish between point one and point two in a big way, right? Point one is just trying to figure out, is this the circumstance where the chazakah applies? And point two is saying that there are people, individuals, who just are left out of the chazakah because of their personal behavior, and the chazakah never applies to them. That's a much bigger chiddush, as we'll see, a controversial point. And then, point three, he goes on to say that since they violate Nida, because there's no mikvah, et cetera, we can know that they for sure violated Nida, so therefore we don't give them the credit to say, Ein Adam Osa Bilasu Bilasnos. So we got in a little bit of an interesting tangent yesterday, saying that that's a whole separate chiddush, because even if we're kicking people out of the club, even if we're saying that there are people who don't deserve this credit of saying they won't be osa bilasim bilasnus, so how should we assess such things? Just because they don't appreciate the various gradations of chumrah and iser, but that's not the only way to assess things. So to say that nida is worse than znus, because nida is kares, so yeah, that's a lamdusha way to think, but it's not necessarily the way somebody who's not from the base medrash, to put it mildly in this case, that they would categorize things like this and say, oh, nida is worse, so that's far from obvious. And then we also went on to a discussion how even people who are in the base medrash don't necessarily make all their decisions based on chumras iser, and we gave some examples of that, most notably that if somebody were to choose, is it better to intermarry or marry a Jewish woman who's not going to observe Nida? So from a Chumras Issa perspective, you'll say, well, Karis is worse. But that's probably not the advice anybody would give nowadays, because they realize that it's not only the Chumras Issa that's the question, but there are other reasons to take something more heavily than another. So then, so far so good, everybody's up to speed. So then we first started mentioning the apparent steer of the Radbat that the Heichal Yitzchak talks about. That the Radbaz says that this couple that doesn't care about Nida, so we kick them out of the club. But a man who is trying to remarry his ex-wife, and the ex-wife had an affair, she was a sota, so she's prohibited to him, so he doesn't get kicked out of the club. We still think, you know, the most to be lost to be less than us. So why are we drawing a line between those two? So here, Rav Herzog comments in a way that introduces a whole other element. Let's not look necessarily at Chumras Iser or the like, but let's look at this fact. And when it comes to Nida, so that's a temporary Iser. So the fact that this man's not willing to just wait until the Nida is over shows that he really doesn't care. But when it comes to remarrying your ex-wife who was unfaithful, so if he's so in love with her that he wants to marry her, there's no halachic way he can do it. So the fact that he just can't deal with that, and marries her anyway, that doesn't necessarily mean that he would be careless about other things, or that he would be not makbid about other things. It could be that this he just can't turn down, he's so in love with her, but the other things he wouldn't necessarily be mezalzel. So again, it's just a very important discussion, because it shows different ways to distinguish between these things, and that's also a big part of the whole discussion here. And then he goes on to suggest another very crucial possible distinction, and this is a major, major issue here, and that is maybe we could draw the line differently, separate from both of those points, and say that, look, there are people who aren't from at all, and who don't care about any halakhic value, but not sota, not nida, not mahsik rishoso, not any of it, but still, they want to live an upstanding life. They don't want to be living in sin. They don't want to be considered living out of wedlock. So therefore, maybe we should say that this particular chazakah, you know, the most of Bilas Nus, for that reason, should be invulnerable to all other doubts that we have about the individual, because we simply can't put them on the same scale. Right? That there are many people in the world, who Jewish people, who wouldn't care about Nida or Sota or other things, but would be careful about premarital relations. So therefore, maybe we should still say, you know, the most of Bilas Nus, even if we know all these other Averos that are more uniquely Jewish, they don't necessarily worry about. Hi.
Like that idea sounds very, I don't know, it sounds like very traditional.
But in the finale,
in the world, it's the, like, it seems a little different.
Sorry?
In like the more progressive world. It's
oh, okay. So let's get to that. So I thought you meant something else for a second. But so that's certainly correct. But this was written at least a few decades ago.
Right.
Now I'll come back to your point in a second. But all of this discussion is assuming that there is what to start assessing. That we should say, okay, you know, the most of the laws knows, well, that's just a rove, and that's something that we can assume is the case. But if there's some reason to think that it's not true about this couple, then we shouldn't apply it, which is a big chiddush. You could say, not that way. The Dvar Avram has a tshuva where he corresponded with many gedolim about this point, and he took the other view. He said that this isn't something that is based on statistics or is based on polls. Or, you know, we'll do a study to see what people are most likely to think and to do. But this is a halacha that Chazal established, that because of the basic premise of Eino Demos Adulas Adulas Nos, so then that becomes a halachic reality, and the Bia is considered to be a Bia's Kedushin no matter what. Now, of course, this would be a big chumrah. Right? Herzog thought would also be a chumrah. But this would be saying that we can't kick anyone out of the club, and again, as bad as it sounds to kick someone out of the club, but we want to, because it was what allows the next marriage and the Mamzerus issues to be dealt with, which are bigger issues. So, but according to this, maybe there's no club, it's just a klal across the board, that in the most of the loss of the lesnos. Now, the truth is, historically, this is a big machlokas about chazakas and whether they are just applicable across the board, whether they change within circumstances, whether they change ever. And if you're familiar a little bit with the history of this institution, without getting into all the details, so it was a major, major public fight that relating to issues of aguna and the like, where it was suggested by a prominent rabbi that the chazaka of that tava meitav ten dum lemeitav armelo, that a woman would rather be married no matter what, that chazaka does not apply anymore in contemporary society. And Rav Soloveitchik was very, very, very upset, to put it very, very mildly, at that idea. It's a famous speech where he was really quite upset. And he said that chazakas are not things that change, that the chazakas represent existential realities, and they are built into the Bria. In that case, he pointed to the Pasuk, Be'al Yishech B'shuk HaSeich, that is simply the way the world is, and these chazakas are not given to change. So I'm not sure what the rabbi held about this case. I could ask around a little bit more about it's possible that he has the same attitude towards the most of the loss of the lasnos. Or it could also be that there are different kinds of chazakas. The whole discussion of what is a chazaka, when you find the language of chazakas, it always means the same thing. It's a little bit of a nuanced question. Is chazaka simply a rove? Is it basically a way of saying that most people are like this, and if we know that most people aren't, then maybe that's going to be different? Or is chazaka something that transcends that? So that's a little bit one of the issues that is tied in here. So to go to Noah's point, so Rav Asher Weiss, in his most recently published volume of Tshuvas Minchas Asher and Chelik Gimel, so he has a few tshuvas about civil marriages and the like. And at one point, he starts off saying, like the traditional view that Noah is called traditional, that people in general, regardless of their chumkai level, maybe could be said that they want to avoid bias nus. But he says, practically nowadays, we know that's not true. So we know that nowadays, that Babin Hussein or Rabin, that people simply are not knocked on that at all. And that in general society, there's no stigma anymore, and there's no avoidance of this, and therefore that assumption that people who aren't concerned about any other halachic value may nonetheless still be concerned with avoiding bias nus, no reason to assume that. And the particular case he was talking about just happened to be even more so. He was very sure about this. He, in general, in his tshuva, very much strongly emphasizes Rav Moshe's position. We haven't even quoted Rav Moshe yet, but the opinion that these weddings do not have a halachic kiyum to them. But he happened to be talking about a case where it was even more extreme, that there was a girl who was living with a boyfriend, a when she was in a different spiritual mindset, and now has become religious and wants to marry somebody, Kadasu Kadin. But before this, she had a boyfriend who she was living with, and they were married. But the reason they were married was because he or she, one of them, I think it was he, needed a green card, was living in America and wanted to have citizenship, and therefore had to be married to an American. So he said, that for sure, there's no Das Kedushin. And when the whole point of the marriage isn't even for the marriage itself, but the marriage is just for some kind of legal trick, so then for sure, he's 1,000% sure, he writes at the very beginning of the tshuva, says there's really nothing to talk about in this case, but I'll just go on to explain, you know, what the issues aren't, and go on to discuss that. But essentially, that's what he says, that this is basically the case, that the civil marriages have no tokif in halacha, but it happens to be the case he was talking about, all the more so that really, you really can say that it's completely meaningless. So I just want to mention this context also about this changing. So I said that Noah had a question yesterday, which I said was tangentially relevant to this whole thing, and we would get to it. So you asked if the Yisur Nida applies to unmarried couples as well. And I said, yes, that's going to come up. So how does this come up here? So I had a discussion with Rulig last week about this point a while ago, that I was a little confused, because in the postgame you find a discussion a little bit about whether this Nisr Lifneivar Lositein Mikshol for a Masadar Kedushin to marry a couple that's not going to observe Hilchos Nida, that's not going to observe Taras Mishpacha. So should we say that if the Masadar Kedushin is performing this wedding, so he's facilitating, they're violating the Yisur Nida, and it should be Nisr Lifneivar? So I was asking, I don't really understand what the issue is, because it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Yisur Nida applies equally whether the couple is married or not married. So even if he doesn't go through with performing the wedding, it's still going to be the same Yisur, and it doesn't make a difference whether he calls them married or not. The Yisur Nida is going to apply in its same severity. So why is it considered to be Lifnei there if he performs the wedding? So Rabbi Lilig reminded me that there was once upon a time in society such a thing that if they were married, they wouldn't live together. So that was the presumption of the earlier poskim who were considering this question, that maybe by marrying this couple, you're facilitating them violating the Yisur Nida, because they wouldn't live together if they weren't married. But nowadays, if they're going to live together anyway, so that taka, there doesn't seem to be any lifting either for the rabbi to do the Sadi Kedushin for them, because there isn't anything that he's particularly facilitating as far as that's concerned. So that also highlights this change that a few decades ago, so Herzog was writing, that maybe even people who aren't makbid on other Isurim, but still they're makbid not to be considered of the Esnos. And more recently, Rasha Weiss is writing that this man is that, it's completely not true, there's no stigma attached to that at all. And so that affects maybe this question, and affects that with the Iver question also about the Masada Kedushin. Okay, so this question also, Rav Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, in his Tshuvas Yachli Yisrael, has a discussion there about this whole question of the Chazaka, and he writes that there are those who suggest that maybe it's totally in the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid. That the Rambam and the Ravid saw this in Hilchos Tishus in Parak Aleph, Halachah Aleph. So the Rambam writes about the Yisur Kadesha and the Yisur Zona, as we spoke about earlier in this month, that the Rambam holds that Pani Havala Pnuya, that even two single people who have a physical relationship, that's an Yisur Kadesha. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that the Yisur Kadesha is if you have somebody who's just going from guy to guy, but if you have a dedicated relationship, so then that's not the Yisur Kadesha. So there were some who suggested that maybe this whole question is totally on that. That according to the Rambam, you could say that the idea of Eino Demosa Bilasa Bilas Nus is that people don't want to violate the Yisur Kadesha, so then they're not going to want to have even a dedicated relationship outside the context of Kedushin, because it would be Asim and HaTorah. And the Ravid doesn't have that as an Yisur Daraisa, so therefore the idea of Bias Nus is a Chaye Hefker, as they say, a life of complete anarchy, of complete lack of restraint. So that's what people are careful not to do. But it doesn't mean that they won't have a long-term relationship with one person, and therefore, in that context, not necessarily have kavanas kedushin. So that's what some want to suggest, that it's dependent on the Rambam and the Ravid. But as he goes on to note, he thinks that suggestion is incorrect, because if you look at the Rambam elsewhere, you see it's not true. Right? Because if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, which you had a chance to see also, I think, in Perek Yud, Halacha Yutes, so you see that the Rambam is not working off that premise, because there the Rambam says that he saw this right, Horu Mitzvahs Meha Gaonim, he says that some of the Gaonim had rule that any time a couple has a physical relationship and they didn't know about it, then there has to be a get. Because the assumption is that they wouldn't have a Vilasnos. And the Rambam disagrees with that. Right? And the Rambam says that no, that this did only applies in certain cases where we really think that might be true, such as an ex-wife who a person might likely want to get back together with, or somebody was Makadish Nishal Tanai, and then relations with Estav. So then there are certain specific situations, says the Rambam, where we say this. But we don't simply say it about any physical relationship between a couple. So that statement of the Rambam seems to contradict the interpretation that some were saying, that any time that it's just the Isser of Kadesha, that the Rambam is connecting to this Chazan.
I thought that was the Rambam Mishita, though, that the Rambam was saying that, or the Magen Mishnah said that the Rambam holds that Kiddushin only works when it's the Shem Kiddushin. The only work when it's the Shem Kiddushin. Mm-hmm. And in Hilchot Yishuv, the Rambam says, when the Rambam is talking about Kadesha, he says that Kadesha exists in every context that's outside of the marriage, that's the same idea.
It's related, right, but he's to say that. To say that because of that, the Rambam's going to say that any time a couple is together, that it has to be L'shem Kiddushin because there's a Nisra right away, that's clearly not the case because he was disagreeing with the government and saying that any time there is a physical relationship, there has to be again. He says he limited it only to these cases where there's some kind of premise that there's a desire for a marriage.
But the Rambam says that any time...
The Rambam quotes the Gaon in the saying that. No?
Doesn't he say that the Gaon were terribly wrong?
Right, that's the point, right? So if he really agreed that it's any time that they're together at all, that's an Isser, and that's why he knows most of the Lost of the Lost notes, then he should agree with them. The fact that he disagrees with them, the Gaon's position is more in line with the suggestion we have mentioned. Right? That any time a couple is together, since that's Usser, so it must be they have Kavanah for it to be Kiddushin. But we see the Rambam himself doesn't hold that way because he disagrees with the Gaon. So presumably that's not really the basis for the issue here. But as we've seen, so just to mention this quickly because we're going to run out of time, and I'll leave a little bit through next week. Let's try to get most of the major points down. That there is still a major issue here, like we mentioned yesterday. And the day before, the question of what kind of kavanah is necessary. Is a kavanah just to be married, or is a kavanah for the specific Jewish kiddushin? So here, that's where Rav Henkin comes in and says that he thinks that it is kavanah to be married, and therefore, since a couple that has a civil marriage, they plan on being married, so therefore that's enough to say that their bia is l'shem kiddushin. And now, of course, that's a tremendous chumrah. I should just mention, in case anyone gets the impression that it has been suggested in some places that the Rav Henkin was insensitive to the fight of the Aguna, I should just mention that Rav Henkin was a major proponent of a different solution to the Aguna problem. It's a longer discussion, and we'll mention in a different context. Happens to be it didn't gain acceptance among other poskim, but he was certainly very focused on this issue. We just happen to think that in terms of the ability that you can nullify a marriage because it was only a civil marriage, that's where he had a position that comes out with Chumrah. Rav Moshe, as we know, Rav Moshe in many, many tshuvas is the one who most famously said that these weddings do not have any tokef, and that the fact that they choose another venue in which to get married shows that they're not looking for their bia to be kedushin. And there are those also who say further that the whole idea is simply the idea of kedushei bia b'chlal doesn't exist nowadays. Maybe that's something I'll expand on a little bit on Monday. So the basic attitude is, we'll just wrap up with this, we'll say a little bit more on Monday, the basic attitude among many poskim today is like Rav Moshe, and to say that if the marriage really was not a halachic one, that there could be a heter to remarry someone else without a get. However, the usual approach is that because of the chumrah of the issue and because of the fact that it is disputed, that we generally do make efforts to try to get a get whenever possible. So this isn't the first step. The first step is that any divorce there should be a get involved. But in a circumstance where the get is impossible, or let's say there already have been children, or he has been remarried and children, or the husband is simply impossible to get him to give the get, so that's where this position kicks in. Happens to be, there is a story the other way, though, that Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he says, pointing in the other direction, that you should not have a get in these circumstances, because to have a get is going to undermine the whole concept of Kedusha Yishus. That a get is there to undo Kedushin, and we've specified that Kedushin means not simply marriage, but the halachic marriage of Kedushin. So to say that a civil marriage there should be a get, you're undermining what Kedushin means. And therefore that's a bad idea. Okay, so it's an interesting approach to this issue, but again, I think the most mainstream approach nowadays is that ideally a get should be given if it's possible, but if it's ready after the fact or if a get is not obtainable, so then there is a pretty broad foundation nowadays to accept the position that Rav Moshe and many others held, and that Rav Asher Weiss was expressing so strongly, that there could be permission to remarry without a get. Now there is another unique position on this whole issue, and that's the position of the Rugachever, which comes out in a very different way. So maybe we will pick up with that on Monday and then move on to other things. Hi.
You say last year that the machlokah between Rav and Rav Moshe was about whether Kiddushin was about Kiddushin was unique to Jewish marriage, or if it was just about marriage in general?
Well, we said it a little differently. We mentioned this a minute ago also, but a little differently, we said that we know that Kiddushin is something which was added on to historical marriage. That's the Rambam's whole point there. So the idea that Rav Henkin has is a part of the reason why so many disagree with him, right? Because Rav Moshe as far as is compelling for that reason, and for a few other reasons also, maybe a few Gemaras that sound like him, a few other reasons. But that the whole point is that Kiddushin is something separate from marriage, something added on to marriage. So therefore, okay, they want to be husband and wife, that's very nice, very well and good, but why does that mean that there's Kedushin here, and that therefore it means a get? So that's one of the major nekudas on
Makar.
That's a good question. And so that's, you seem to think that it's less than that, but a part of why there's been so much support for Moshe's position, even though it's a big chiddush and it's a tremendous kula, so to speak, but that there's a certain weight to that for that logical reason also. Okay, so the Rugachever's position is interesting. We'll mention that next week and a few other things, and then we'll move on. And now we'll daven. Would you like to daven for us?